Hey everybody, this week Paul and I are going to dive into looking at where you might be losing money and how you could possibly recapture some of that money you're going to be losing. Think of a bucket. You got a bucket full of water, but you got a bunch of holes in it. Where are those holes in your financial life? Paul, maybe give him a preview on maybe a couple of the things we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we get at it in the episode, talking about different holes. And some of those holes might be things that you guys take for granted, paying estimated taxes. The big one is obvious interest that you're paying to other people's banks over your lifetime. And then one of my personal favorites on the show is tuition and college savings.
So there you go.
Stay tuned.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right, Paul, you're looking quite tan, my friend.
Did you just very
come
tan
back from vacation or what?
Yep, just got back from the islands last Friday. And nice. I'll be honest with you guys, I got torched that first day.
Yeah, I got pretty red the first day in Mexico a couple weeks ago too.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. Now you're just a nice bronze base.
Very brown, very brown.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice, man. So good time away with the fam.
Good time. The kids got their full basic underwater diver certification. So they're full 60-foot approved divers now. So we did 5 dives while we were there. And it's just cool. Just cool to see them do that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun, man. Hannah and I went away, just us, no kids, for 5 days. That was great.
Very nice vacation.
An actual vacation.
Actually,
to me, your kids are old enough and still enjoy it.
They're old enough. They're running around like on their own. They play basketball all day. And Carmela was, she's like an adult now. She sits by the pool, just hangs out. So,
yeah. Yeah. Cool, man. Well, I think we were talking vacation plans. Definitely got some couple of vacations in the summer. I think 3 like week long vacations planned in the summer already. No, got to get it in while I can.
That's right. Well, the 3 days of summer up there.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, we were, it's getting better. The trees are about to bud.
Oh, they haven't budded yet?
Well, they're budding. I mean, they're about to bloom, but they haven't bloomed yet.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that means you're like 5 weeks, maybe 4 or 5 weeks behind us, I would say.
Yeah. It's behind amazing. The rest of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, hey, man, let's talk. I feel like we haven't talked in a while. We pre-recorded a lot and then we took a big break, but let's get back in it. One thing I've noticed when I've been working with people and finalizing policies, we look over their financial numbers, where they're saving for what money is squirreled away where and what kind of accounts. And something that I realized time and time again is there's so much more that we can be doing. As far as, money kind of slipping through our fingers, mm-hmm. It comes in my left hand, give it to my right hand and send it out to somebody else. And it never hits anything in between. So I think it'd be good to spend some time focusing and rethinking our thinking, around the conventional mindset that most people have, which is, hey, I'm going to invest 10%, maybe 15% if I'm doing really good, of my income. And man, I'm going to look for a 10% return on it. So they're focused on that 10% that they're putting away every year. But they don't think too much about that 90% that is slipping through their fingers.
Right.
So let's talk about that, man. I mean, you can talk about what you're going to gain or you can talk about what you're not going to lose. Both are valid.
Yeah. And if you're wondering, where we get some of these ideas, this is one of Nelson's biggest points in becoming your own banker is the average American man talking about the 10% he invests. He actually says 5%, but he gives him the benefit of the doubt of saving 10% and getting a return on that little piece of money and ignoring, like you said, the 90%. So that's, folks, we're not reinventing the wheel here at all. It's just something really a thought exercise that, hey, it might be worth looking at that 90%. It is worth looking at that 90% to see where your holes are at. And we're going to go over some of those today.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're all focused on and we've been trained and conditioned to focus on what we can gain, by what we do.
Right.
But very rarely does anybody ever point out to us, or do we stop to think about what am I losing and how can I stop from losing that? So I like the visual. We got a good friend, Nate Dean, who has this really good visual that I've seen him do a video on, where he holds up a bucket and he takes a power drill and pokes a bunch of holes into it, and it's full of water. And now this thing is just leaking, right? All this money leaking out of our lives. How do we plug that? So let's talk about that. I like the example. Let's just use some big round numbers to give everybody kind of caged on this. Say you make $100,000 a year, and you're going to invest 10%, because that's what you're told to do, and you're very diligent about it, and you do that. Okay, great. So you're going to invest $10,000 a year. What would be a good annual return on that 10,000?
10%.
Okay, let's say 10%. So how much would you make on that 10,000 if you earned 10% over the course of a year?
$1,000.
$1,000. So great. Okay, you made $1,000. What about that 90,000? What if you could recapture just 5% of that $90,000 a year? Before it goes to somebody else, you can capture that permanently. How much is 5% of $90,000?
Ooh, $4,500.
Yes. Yes, you got it.
Sorry.
No calculator.
I didn't know I was supposed to do math. I'm like,
we actually had to stop the recording, get the calculator out. No. So you earned $1,000 from the 10%, but you were able to permanently capture $4,500 from that 90%. That's almost a 5x multiple of what you're earning to what you actually were able to capture and
right.
Save. Like, think about that. I mean, is it crazy to think that there are some places in your life where you're losing money, and if you really dove in, we could figure out where to save 5% of that money and capture 5% of that money permanently every single year? I don't think that's right. Beyond the realm of possibility for a lot of people.
No, I don't think so either. And if you think about it, again, I'm going to refer back to Nelson's book when he's talking about the average American man, you know, paying 34 and a half cents of disposable income to interest to other people's banks, finance companies, banks, whatever. That includes mortgages, that includes closing costs, interest on cars, boat payments, whatever, right? And he says something in the book, and I'll paraphrase, but this money that the average American man is otherwise losing could be used to enrich. I'm pretty sure he uses that word, to enrich ourselves forever. And you've talked about it on this podcast several times, where we've given examples of people not necessarily investing for a rate of return, but changing the way they were thinking and getting a kind of a rate of return by getting a discount on something. And I talked about the rent that I'm going to be paying on this duplex when we moved to Tennessee or whatever, and I got 1 month free because I have cash. I was like, hey, will you give me a month for free because I'm going to prepay it, which ended up being like a 16% savings, right? So I saved 16%. Otherwise, that 16% would be gone forever. I'd never see it again, right? Although I'm using policy loans, so technically I would see it again. But anyway, so again, the focus on a 10% rate of return on 5 or 10% of the money that you're able to invest, we should also be looking at this 34 and a half cents out of every dollar also. And you will automatically have a higher rate of return over your entire life, not just that snapshot in time where you had a good year in the market, let's say.
Yeah.
Right. We're talking every single year. And you do that simply by practicing IPC and changing your spending pattern. That's it. Super simple.
Yeah. And you don't have to, we're not talking about in this example of, you know, capturing 5% of that. We're not talking about figuring out, you know, taking 5% away from everything else you do.
Right.
And basically having a, okay, now I got to find another 5% to just set aside and do nothing with. No, we're talking about using that same 5% that's going somewhere else and run it through your system. You know, if you can simply do that over the course of your lifetime, what kind of difference will that make?
Yeah. Just huge. On this one, it's a tremendous difference. I mean, you just proved it with the math, but
yeah.
But it's an interesting way to think, and nobody's thinking like this. I think that's the most important thing to think about, Dave, is nobody's thinking like this, right? It's a complete mindset switch on how to think about money. Like, hey, yeah. I'm doing my 10%. I'm saving that. That's good enough. And the rest can just be traditional. It's going from my checking, like one hand to the other hand and out the door forever. Mm-hmm. So it is going to take a little bit of thinking, but not much. And like Dave was saying before, this isn't, you know, we're not advocating, this isn't going to cost you anything additional to do this, right? You're taking existing money that you already have and just putting the process of IBC and a dividend paying whole life policy or system of policies in between what the money is doing right now and what it's going to go do in the future.
Yeah. And I like to use kind of an example of, do you want to be able to reuse your money? Do you want it to be reusable, or do you want it to be a one-time use only? And now think about that. Like, we have, you know, with all my kids, a lot of times we have dinner on paper plates because it's just easier. Yes. Right. But those paper plates, they're not reusable. They're one-time use only.
Right.
Yeah. It's easy. We don't have to fill the dishwasher up. We just throw them away and we're done. But, you know, up front, you know, something that's one-time use only is cheaper, right? A paper plate's a lot cheaper than buying a nice set of dishes, you know, right. Porcelain plates or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's cheaper up front, but over time, I'm going to spend a whole lot more on paper plates. And I do, because we have to replace them every single time. So I spend a lot more on paper plates than we spent to buy the actual nice dishes that we use, that we can use. Right. So it's kind of, maybe we're not thinking far enough into the future. What if I can reuse this money? So up front, yeah, there's going to be a cost to what you're doing. As we always say, you're not going to have access to 100% of what you put into your system in the first year or the second or the third. But eventually it's going to get there and you're going to have more than what you ever put in. So up front, yeah, there's a little cost, but over time, man, you can reuse that money over and over and over. And it becomes cheaper.
I think a good way to think about this is like the seen and the unseen, right? The paper plate is the easy button on a daily basis running the household, right? It's just, it's easy. Mm-hmm. It's there in the cabinet. We grab seven of them. In your case, you grab, you know,
I always eat on a real plate.
Yeah. You grab a bunch of paper plates.
Paper plates.
Right. Depending on who's in the house and what's going on with activities and stuff. And then they're gone. But you know what the upfront cost is. People don't understand those long-term effects. Like, they think of, you know, tie this back to IBC, like, you know, dividend paying all life and paying a premium every month or every year over the long duration. Like, if they're not in their right mindset and they're thinking of that as an expense, of course they're going to go to, they're not going to use your nice porcelain plates, mm-hmm. which is the life insurance policy, which is reusable, right? Which doesn't get better with age, and unfortunately, but the paper plate is just, you know, it's temporary.
It's like one time use only.
It's term, right? It's going to, it sits there for 30 minutes. You eat off it, then you throw it in the garbage. It's kind of like a term policy you have for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You're constantly paying for it, mm-hmm. right? But it has no value. Whereas the porcelain plate here has value. Right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you inherited them from a family member, or they have some sentimental value, but you get to reuse them over and over and over. Maybe occasionally you break one. Unfortunately, that happens occasionally. But and you throw them in the dishwasher to get them clean. Yeah. Right? Yep. You repay your loans. I don't know.
Yeah.
Trying to tie this, but there anyway,
I think we've exhausted that enough.
Beat that.
That's good.
Beat that. Beat it to death. But it's just, and we. You know, we like the paper plates for convenience, but we also, you know, if I'm eating steak, I'm using a real plate.
Yeah. Like, And I know the most cost-effective thing to do is reuse the same thing.
Correct.
Get as many uses out of it as possible until it's run its course. Well, in the case of the infinite banking concept and your whole life insurance policy, you get to reuse those dollars that you're putting into it over and over and over. And it doesn't run its course until your body has, and you've graduated from this earth.
Yeah.
And then your family's going to get millions and millions of dollars, you know, getting dollars and you put in pennies. But no, that's not the point of this episode. This point of this episode is capturing that wealth permanently so it can be reused, and your cash, your money, is not a one-time use only commodity.
Yeah. And, you know, by doing so, by, you know, by looking at that 90% that you're bleeding and maybe plugging some of those gaps, you know, that there's a compound effect to that. You know, year after year after year, you're keeping more and more of your own money. We have this question that I took from Nate, is actually, and we've asked it before, but it's like, if you take somebody and ask them early in the process, all right, add up all the money you're going to make over the next 30 years anticipated. How much of that money do you want to keep? And of course, every single person has said, well, all of it. How much you want to keep in your family? All of it. Yeah. Well, of course, that's the right answer, right? There's only one way to do that in the financial space.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if you think of it as how much do you want your family to keep?
That's right.
Because your family is going to get reimbursed for all of that money you've made over your lifetime, or all that money you should have made over your lifetime.
Correct.
When you graduate, your family's going to get to keep it all.
It's a win, in short, either way.
It is. It's a win either way. It's a win while you're alive, and it's a win after you graduate.
Right. Because if you do live for that 30 years, let's say you live the whole time and you've paid premium the whole time, they're going to get more than you would have earned.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I'm already at the point on several of my policies of having more than what I put in. I was just looking at, I had a couple in-force illustrations run on a couple different policies, and the one I'm paying in June of this year, I pay a $20,000 premium, and my cash value is estimated to go up by $29,000.
Yeah. What a great place to put money.
Like, how cool.
What a great place to put money. Ask yourself this question, folks. Where right now, in a guaranteed manner, can you put $20,000 and then have $29,000, you know, an increase of $29,000?
Yep.
Where?
Available to access and use tax-free.
Where?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. If there was other places, I want to find out, and I might be talking about
you know,
those places too.
Leave it in the comments.
Yeah, let us know. Or just call me direct. Yeah. But so let's talk about, Paul, you're talking to somebody who, there's many people listening who, world is expensive. Man, life is expensive. Where in the world am I going to come up with 5% to put towards policy premium? How can I possibly afford that? Where it takes roughly, say, $250,000 to live a comfortable life in this country for a family of four. Like, it takes a whole lot of money to live a comfortable life in this country now.
Yeah.
Where am I going to come up with this 5%?
Right. Especially around where the heck I live. It's insane.
Yeah.
So actually, I had this conversation earlier with my friends at breakfast. I'll plug them. My neighbors around the corner. I won't name you by name, but talking about, well, Paul, I get murdered in I'm a 1099, right? I'm a real estate agent, and she gets crushed because she's, there's nothing withheld for her, right?
Right.
As independent agents.
She has to estimate her own taxes.
She has to estimate her own taxes. And to her credit, brilliant. She files an extension every year to keep that money under her control for as long as possible. Right. And I was like, well, we could design a policy or policies that where you can incorporate that tax payment as premium, and then you could pull a loan and pay the tax and something that's very common in the IBC space, to be honest with you. And it'll get better with age. It'll get easier and easier to do, actually. So I guess estimated taxes is one example of a hole. It's money you're going to send out the door anyway. It's going from the left hand to the right hand, and it's out the door forever. You're never going to see it again. But what if you could capture that right into your own banking system, quotation marks for the people listening, and keep that money under your family's control forever? Wouldn't that be better? Well, of course it's better, because then those dollars are going to be available forever to you.
Yeah, and you can bet she's probably setting aside how much, 20 to 30% of her income to pay that tax bill.
Yeah, because they're state too.
Yeah, because they're state also in most states. So a smart business owner is going to be doing that, setting aside 20 to 30% to pay that tax bill. What if you only captured, we're talking about 5%.
Right.
So if you got a 20, you know, if you're setting aside 20%, take a quarter of that, funnel it through your system.
Right.
I mean, that's just 5%. That's a great place for anybody self-employed who gets 1099 income to find this 5%.
Yeah, let's expand on that just a little bit. So for those of you who are living IBC and doing these types of things, you know, if you've got, hopefully, and we've brought this up before, hopefully if you're setting aside that extra money and you have outstanding loans on existing policies, that money should just be paying back those loans, right? Don't keep it in somebody else's bank. Put it back into your system, right? Repay those policy loans, and then the money's still available to you, right?
That's typically a big question mark people have. They say, I want to max fund my policy. So I want to put as much as I can possibly manage into premium every year. But Paul, how do I repay my loan?
I'm already tapping
myself out. Well, here's a great way. Use your cash flow to fund your policy and use these things we're mentioning here as your loan repayment method, because that money's got to reside somewhere. That money you're putting away for taxes has to sit somewhere. You're probably putting it in a savings account, or you could just repay your policy loans with it.
Yep.
And it's sitting there ready for you to take out whenever you need it to pay that bill.
Right. And you know, you're thinking about it the right way. You have dedicated premium that must be paid. You have PUA premium that may or may not be optional premium, but you want to pay it. You should pay it.
Right.
Right. So there's always two cash flows. There's going to be premium and loan repayment. There's always those two considerations. But again, we are going to give you a few more examples of how you can use these other dollars to as your loan repayment, as Dave just said. But just think about it. Control, family banking, like don't isolate it in the commercial bank. Put it in your, quotes again for listeners, in your bank, right?
Yeah.
Like this is, and hopefully this is going to clear up. We do get this question quite often. I think they hear loan, Dave, just like Nelson talks about in the book, and their brains think like, well, if I repay a policy loan, that money's, they got to remind themselves like that money is available to you again.
Yeah.
It's not you're paying the mortgage company and the money's locked up in the house, or it's a car payment and whatever.
I mean, think of it like maybe a loan from your parents. When you're a kid, your parents loan you $100. Well, as soon as you pay it back, you know they have $100 again that they can loan you whenever they feel.
Is that a thing?
I mean, yeah, my kids need money. It's a loan. Yeah, I got one about to buy a car. And I say, well, first off, you got to prove to me that you can repay it. Repay a loan. You don't get a loan until.
Is he at Chick-fil-A as well?
He was. Now he's applied for the grocery store down the street. So it's close. He could get there easy, even without a car. So
nice.
So what's another place we could do this? We talk estimated taxes. How about charitable giving? Let's say you're tithing or giving $1,000 a month. Well, what if you moved that to quarterly and did $3,000 every quarter? In the meantime, that's $3,000 that could be sitting somewhere. Well, it could go back to repaying a loan. Part of that could be used to fund a premium.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's ways to do it. The less frequent you're doing something, so if you are doing charitable giving, I think switching to a less frequent method or mode instead of just like premium, right? Like I like to pay my premiums annually. I think it is the best way. Yeah. If you can start there, you should. Same thing with charitable giving. If you can do an annual tithe or a semi-annual tithe, the less frequent, the easier it is from an IBC mechanics perspective to incorporate those dollars into a you know, policy or series of policies.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't, you know, at least I don't, it's tough on a monthly. Somebody do it on a monthly basis.
No,
like, if you want to give monthly, great. I wouldn't use that as premium.
No, the life insurance companies are not banks, folks. Right. They don't have, you know, 4 million employees just sitting there waiting to process some sort of transaction, or it's frankly automated anyway. Like, it's, there's a lot of human interaction with the life insurance companies. So,
right. Oh, okay. What about tuition and college savings?
I love this one.
Yeah. This could take up the rest of the time here.
Sorry.
Dog's barking. So tuition and college, a lot of people have these other college plans. I was just talking to a client whose parents fund a UTMA for his kids. And
yeah.
I was trying to talk to them about, what if you put this into a whole life policy on the kids instead? You know, what would that do? That's, you can find that 5% right there.
Yes, of course. And unlike those other things, whether it's UTMAs or 529s, you know, it's a favorite of this channel. You know, those are one-time use dollars.
Yep.
And again, we've got people that we know with six figures and 529s. You know, that money is going to do, those dollars, that wealth is going to do one activity.
Not only one-time use, but one specific use.
One specific, which is even worse. Constricted, constrained, tied to the government, the whim. I mean, I've been seeing ads on 529s lately on Facebook and Instagram and stuff too. It's just super, really triggering to me.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a trigger warning.
Just really annoying. But again, I hate to see it when you think about the compound loss over time of, let's say you could earn 4% on that 100 grand in perpetuity for the rest of your life, which is kind of what you'll get in a life insurance contract. You'll get 3-4% without any tax. And just do that math over the next 40 years. You've lost a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot. And when you graduate, nobody's getting multiples of that you put in as a tax-free income.
No, no, they're not.
No. Okay, here's an easy one. Escrow for your properties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy I was just talking to, he calculated probably $7,300 a year going to taxes and insurance for his house. If you got more than 20% equity, even if you have less than that, call the bank that's holding your mortgage and say, I'd like to escrow the taxes and insurance myself. It's up to them. They can say yes or no, but hey, the worst they could say is no. But
yeah,
I've heard a lot of people have success with that. It's a simple phone call and they say, yeah, you can escrow it yourself. And now that's money you could use to maybe repay outstanding loans, or use part of that as premium.
New capital accumulation,
right,
to enrich your family instead of letting a bank hold it. And let's face it, I don't know if there's restrictions on that those escrow accounts, Dave, with the banks. Maybe there's different federal law and state laws, or that they're just leveraging that counts as money they have on the books and therefore they can loan it out. I have no idea. Yeah. But I'd rather have the money under my control, obviously. That's the point we're getting to.
Yeah, doing something for me, running it through my system, creating permanent wealth, creating cash value that can be reused, creating more death benefit that's going to grow and grow.
I can pay my own property taxes on my own. It's not hard. They send you a bill in the mail, and you just send them a check, and I can pay
my
insurance.
It's like what our parents used to do, paycheck, bills in the mail.
Yeah, in fact, our land, while we're building this house, like there's no escrow. I pay the tax once a year on just the land, which is almost nothing. And then I have that other lot and I pay the tax on that just out of pocket. There's no escrow for those.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Now, another one that most people familiar with the infinite banking concept already know this one, but there's others that don't. Big expenditures. I mean, that's really the purpose of infinite banking is to finance the things of life. So do you want your money to be a one-time use by paying cash for a car? Or do you want to be able to reuse those dollars to pay for multiple cars over your lifetime?
Right.
Well, it's not about what you're going to gain. It's going to be about what you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose the opportunity cost of that money earning something for you and compounding over the rest of your life.
Yeah. You lose less by financing your vehicles with your whole life insurance contracts. You're still paying, the only loss you really have is the interest you're paying to the life insurance company, but you're part owner of that company and they're going to pay you a dividend and they're guaranteeing the collateral. So is it really a loss? Nah, not really.
No.
It is, but to me, it really isn't.
As long as you're paying that back on a schedule,
right?
You know, and you're not treating it like a piggy bank, right?
Yeah, where you just never replace it.
Yeah. What about down payments on houses, weddings? Weddings are outrageous these days. Vacations. We were just talking about vacations and, you know, how much we plan to spend on vacations this year. That's all money that could first be captured somewhere else. It needs to reside somewhere.
And, you know, folks, the process of becoming your own banker gets better with age. You know, Dave and I have owned whole life insurance for quite some time now. And the more mature your policies, the easier and even bigger things you're able to do, right? Some of those down payments for something might be quite large. Higher education, extremely expensive, right? By the time like my kids are there, you know, some of these colleges will be six figures per year, which is insane, by the way.
Yeah. And, you know, to graduate and get a job, paying $30,000 a year.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But anyway, the whole point is to recycle your money, right? Keep it in the family, right? The wealthiest families keep their money close. The wealthiest communities keep their money close. So keep your money close. That's what IBC enables you to do.
Yep. Very good. So, I mean, to summarize, spend some time thinking about where you can capture some of that 90% of your income going, leaving your personal economy. Where can you capture, say, just 5%, which is going to outweigh probably any return you're getting on the money that you're putting away for investing? Not that you shouldn't invest, but you're missing out if you're not looking at what you're losing right now and capturing that before it leaves your hands.
Yeah. And if you're like a big Dave Ramsey person, it's really no different. It's just there's life insurance, whole life insurance contracts in the middle.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Still pay cash for cars.
Yeah.
You're just going to do it in a much more efficient way.
Yeah. And if you haven't, get Becoming Your Own Banker, fifth edition, hard copy, and look at the example. Nelson spells it out for you, right? Paying cash is not the best way to buy things.
Right. Yep, plenty more resources on our website too. Link is in the show notes. And check that link for the next monthly live webinar, get together.
Do you know off the top of your head what day that is?
No, I don't think we've decided, but we should decide right after this and put it in the show notes.
Let's do it.
All right, good deal. It'll be in May though. We're talking about the one in May, 2025. In May.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, great, everybody. Hope you got something out of that. If you guys want to set up time, get on our website, find our links, or our scheduling links are in the show notes as well. Schedule some time with me and Paul, or me or Paul, or both of us.
Time is of the essence.
Time is of the essence.
You're not going to get healthier.
Yeah. Go back a couple episodes and listen to that one.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.